Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
All right, that was perfect.
Finish that popcorn.
What's up, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans? I'm Josh McCuga, here with my good buddy Ben Begley, star of Hallmark's. We moved out, but there's still a little love left.
It's a ghost story.
It's a ghost story.
And I'm not shorter this week. My chair just keeps shrinking.
We're both shrinking. I'm
by the end of the episode,
foot.
I'm going to be like this. I'm just going to look like a clown with a giant red nose.
You're going to look like some of the promo pictures from Funhouse Massacre.
Yeah.
Guys, if you haven't seen on Ben's Facebook or Twitter, he's got a bunch of promo pictures for his movie Funhouse Massacre. They are fantastic. Congratulations, man.
Thanks, really, man. Cool.
I'm really excited to see it.
Yeah, we got picked up. We had an exclusive from Dread Central. Where they got the exclusive.
Now, what is Dread Central?
Dread Central is one of the top three horror sites. There's Bloody Disgusting, Fangoria, Dread Central, and a few others.
Okay.
But Dread Central is one of the big ones, and they got the exclusive first peek at our villains. We sent them all the images, so nobody else had seen them until they released them.
Nice.
And we got some good heat from that, and it was cool. We got, you can look it up on facebook.com/thefunhousemassacre, and Rocco the Clown is super scary.
It looks like it.
Rocco's character is like Leatherface meets a clown meets a wrestler, and it's his, I think he's going to be, and he's an African-American actor too, which I don't know very many, and GMP audience, help me out, other than Candyman, I don't know very many African-American slasher characters.
Well, we do know an African-American hero. Of a certain sequel.
See, that's what I did. I segued just
right
for
in.
You.
Today, guys, we're talking about Predator 2. Now, we have talked Predator on this show before when Steve Simone was
my
co-host.
Which is not a guilty movie pleasure.
Which Predator, can be argued a guilty movie pleasure, but
no,
I don't. Okay.
Predator is like Die Hard. It's a near perfect action film. The only thing that could make it guilty
is an alien chasing them through the jungle.
No, is maybe Arnoldisms is some,
well,
some,
come on.
Some of the Schwarzeneggerisms.
Come get to the chopper.
Get to the, if he bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah,
you're one ugly motherfucker. Which, by the way, I'm gonna zoom ahead.
Okay,
but how does this Predator remember that line from the first movie? Because you know how you're an ugly motherfucker's in the first movie, right?
Well, I think it's because all the Predators are clones, right?
Oh, or do they have a hive mind, like in Pacific Rim?
Right.
Like, they all drift together?
Yeah, that's one of those ones we have to do at some point.
We gotta do it.
Yeah. I guess is a decent argument. I don't know the answer to that.
This is fucking ridiculous. I can't even see myself over
okay,
the microphone.
Guys.
I feel like a child sitting in a car.
For the rest of the show, Ben and I are gonna stand.
Forget it.
Does Jonathan have to redo the mics then?
Nope. He's good. We just not, I have the same posture as when I sit normally, so there we go.
This is great. I feel like a morning radio host.
I do, yeah. Hey, it's Josh and Ben in the morning.
Hey, Ben and the J-Man.
Hey, we got your top 40 while you're getting in traffic.
Guys, it's a war zone out there. It's Los Angeles 1990.
Don't forget, you bring two cans of Shasta, you get a free ticket to Predator 3. Up my bowl.
I just Shasted myself, Ben.
Hey, oh, keep it PG.
Let's cut to Jonathan in the booth. Jonathan, what's happening?
Was that actually you making that noise?
No, that's me from last week.
What, do it
play
again.
It again.
I forget what that word.
It was like, yeah.
Yeah.
play it again there. Play it.
Yeah. What's so funny about that clip is that when I looked at Jonathan, he had a look on his face that matched that exactly. That,
yeah.
No.
But yeah, we're talking Predator 2 today. We can argue regular Predator all we want. But and here's the thing is, I will defend Predator 2 to my grave because I love this movie.
I like Predator 2. I like Predators.
Yeah.
The
How about
one with
Alien
Adrian
versus
Brody.
Predator.
I didn't like Alien versus Predator, but I liked Alien versus Predator Requiem, the sequel.
I didn't see either.
We should do that.
Okay.
Cuz Alien
After Predator 2, I was done.
Here's the thing. Alien versus Predator 2 Requiem is the ultimate guilty movie pleasure. I feel very guilty liking that movie. It is terrible, but it is awesome. Okay. It's so bloody and over the top and just like.
And one thing you will notice, and probably how they got Alien vs. Predator, is in the skull room on the ship at the end of Predator 2, there is an alien
that blew my mind.
Skull.
I don't remember that from when I first saw it, and that blew my mind. I was like, they set this up, and then they completely failed in the execution of it with two movies.
I know.
Had two attempts to make the best showdown in movie history between Alien versus Predator, and they fucked it up twice.
Ripley versus Glover.
Come on, right? That would have been awesome.
That would have been cool.
Freddy versus Jason, I'd love to do on this show, because I actually think Freddy versus Jason is
never
awesome.
Seen it. You know me, I don't really see horror movies.
But that one's more like just completely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I think you'd like Freddy versus... GMP audience, tweet at Josh McCuga if you want us to do Freddy versus Jason.
And now, special treat next week, I believe. We gotta get some things down, but my mom and dad are gonna be here.
It's gonna be awesome.
And, I don't have any activities planned per se, so I'm gonna bring them to Guilty Movie Pleasures. I have an audition in the morning, I have Guilty Movie Pleasures, and then they're shooting an episode of Between the Sheets that night.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what are your... I know we're getting sidetracked here, even though we're talking about Predator 2, but
my dad and I love Predator 2.
What do your parents think of some of your more... Well, I guess we can... let's just save it for next week, because I want to ask your parents what they think of some of your more raucous material. Is that the right word?
Raucous, raunchy.
Raucously raunchy.
You know, my mom and dad, we can ask them next week. That's a little teaser there for you guys. John and Deb McCuga will be in studio.
My mom's name is Deb.
Yeah, that's we know.
That's crazy.
When I met your mom.
Yeah. You met my mom at my wedding.
Which your gift is on the way. Speaking of a great wedding gift, Ben.
Hey, there we go. Transition.
We've got Casper Mattresses here. They're one of the sponsors of the show. Guys, this is an online retailer for premium mattresses. Mattresses can often cost well over $1,500.
I know that because I bought one a few years back and it was expensive.
Expensive.
It's a ripoff.
Right? And there's nothing worse than an awful night's sleep, mm-hmm. right? But at Casper, their stuff is unbelievable. You can buy a Casper mattress completely risk-free, offers free delivery, and returns within a 100-day period. It's that simple. Statistically, lying on a bed for 4 minutes in a showroom has no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. That's why Casper has turned the buying process into a risk-free experience. It's basically taking a mattress, you order it, and this just gives you a little test drive. It's like test
drive. You can test drive a mattress?
Test drive a mattress.
That's crazy.
Send it right back. They'll pick it right back up. You don't like your Casper mattress, you can send it right back. It's not like if you make Predator 2 and you don't like it, you can't take the footage back.
You can't take it back. Wait, is it? And I thought I read something about memory foam on there. Is that true?
No, that's a different company.
No. It said something on there about like that the mattresses are made out of like super something fancy.
Casper mattress is one of a kind, a new hybrid mattress that combines premium latex foam with memory foam.
Told you. I read it. I read the copy.
I knew that. We're just playing a little improv game.
You panicked
here,
for a second. You were like, "Oh shit!" He just during the copy portion, he just brought up another company.
Now I got to tell you. Danny Glover, huge Casper mattress
huge
fan.
Huge Casper fan.
And if you guys didn't know this, on the ship at the end of Predator 2, they were all on Casper mattresses.
They were. They all went on, and that's how they get their nights to go hunting.
When they landed, they ordered the Casper mattresses, tested it out for 97 days, and then right before they left, they sent them all back.
That's because the Predator's a bunch of assholes.
Exactly. They're cheap.
Because they liked the mattresses, they just didn't want to pay for them.
Exactly. Don't be like the Predators, guys.
Don't be a Predator.
Get your Casper mattress.
don't be a Predator.
Don't do it. Our audience gets $50. Discount towards the mattress by purchasing. Go to casper.com/guilty. 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 And $50 towards a purchase of a new mattress. Buy your lady something nice. Get your sleep on, guys.
Get your sleep on. Here's the thing. It's $50 off something that's already way discounted.
Yes, exactly.
It's double the discount.
And if you guys have an amazing night's sleep, that's triple the discount right there, my friend.
No more insomnia.
You know what I'm not discounting?
Predator 2.
Now,
oh, man.
Let's get into it, because...
We got a short show today.
Yeah, we do have a short show.
McCuga has to go...
I do have an audition.
We have an audition.
A little bit later.
What's the audition for? Are you allowed to say?
Yeah, it's a commercial.
Hmm. Yeah. You're excited about it.
I'm super pumped. Another commercial audition. Like I said, a lot of people like, I hate Predator 2. Now there are a lot of guilty moments in this movie, but this movie is awesome. It has the ultimate prerequisite for a guilty movie pleasures of the 80s and 90s.
What's that?
Gary Busey.
Oh, yeah. And Gary Busey playing a straight-laced character, yeah, which is fucking weird.
God damn it!
To watch Gary Busey be reined in, because I did a movie not too long ago called Confessions of a Womanizer where he played one of the leads in it, and I didn't work with him, but I was there at the table read. He is batshit.
Yeah.
Like, he was... At one point, he was like...
How have I never seen this movie?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
I'm in one scene, and I this guy comes in for an STD check, and I look at it, and it's so disgusting, I throw up all over the floor. It's pretty gross. But, I mean, it has some funny parts.
Okay.
And the guy that directed it is awesome. It's a funny movie. Anyways,
go ahead.
I'm getting off track. Gary Busey's insane.
This whole show should just be called Guilty Movie Off Track.
Yeah, Guilty Movie Off Track. But so the thing is, Gary Busey's insane. That was my Max Headroom.
Jonathan, could we rip that? Gary Busey.
So Gary Busey is nuts in real life.
Let's clap to Jonathan in the booth.
And he's gotten crazier as he gets older. So that's what's so weird about seeing him so reined in this,
yeah,
and so like supposed to be this super authoritative FBI guy. Like, I'm a straight laced
FBI. You listen to me, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It is. And it makes it super guilty. I think since we're talking about him now, we should play that clip because it's fucking
it's
incredible.
Great. Yeah.
I believe it's called Lions and Tigers.
And Tigers.
And Bears.
Lions, the Tigers, the Bears. Oh my.
I want to, you know that he's used that in bed before where he's like, he comes out of the bathroom, he's wearing like a Japanese kimono robe and there's a girl in bed and he looks at her and he goes like,
Lions, the Tigers, the Bears, oh my.
Actually, I think that's how he picks his fantasy football teams. he goes to the fantasy football draft and he goes, hey guys, I'm going to pick the,
Lions, the Tigers, the Bears.
Are there any of those football teams?
The Lions and the Bears are. There
okay,
are no
good.
Tigers.
Hey!
But the Detroit Lions and the Detroit Tigers are two teams. Tigers are baseball,
there
Lions
go.
Are football.
There you go.
Guys, teaching Ben Begley about sports is
not
entertaining.
Easy. Not easy.
Okay, I think that we should do the plot in under...
2 minutes?
Two?
In four, three, two, one...
Begley.
First 10 minutes, insane drug cartel, Colombian just shootout with the cops... Cops don't know what to do at all until Danny Glover shows up and his brilliant idea is to put two bulletproof vests in the window and drive his car straight at them where they can't hit him for some reason.
And
he hangs
pulls,
out the
He
side
opens his
door.
Trunk and he's like, not too big enough, not big enough. And then he looks at he pulls out just a hand cannon from the top. Okay, good.
Anyways, so then he finally shoots a few of them. Or no, he runs up behind him and he goes, hey, assholes! Because the best way to surprise Colombian drug lords is to yell that you're behind them first when
Minute
they have 30. Machine guns. So then, anyway, the rest of them run inside. They're all getting loaded to the teeth. Predator comes, kills them all. We don't know what's happening. Then there's a Jamaican gang, too. They all get killed by the Predator. Nobody knows what's happening.
Yeah.
Makuga, take it.
Okay, so then they're all like, this is crazy. And then the chief comes. He's like, I could appreciate some friggin' cooperation. And then they
exactly
go to,
how he does
yeah,
it.
And then they go to their cage on Alvarado, as he called it. And it looks like the world's craziest police station. Like, everybody's just shooting gun, whatever.
Because it's the future, 97.
Yeah,
7 years in the future.
His buddy Danny Boy's like, we're going to investigate this. They go to the Jamaican guy's house, and all of a sudden, they all get killed by the Predator, including Danny, which is a nightmare. And then Danny Glover loses it. Danny Boy is the cop.
Is the cop.
Danny Glover, we'll just
play by the
actors
in Fear of the Walking Dead now.
45, go.
Okay, so then Bill Paxton's super annoying character gets murdered on a subway in the craziest, kind of most disorienting action scene I've ever seen.
They're just chasing the Predator down at this point.
Yeah.
That's the only goal.
And then,
no story
by
left.
The way, Gary Busey has been set up as a federal investigator, an FBI guy. Then he comes
27
in.
27 seconds left.
He comes in and Danny Glover tracks him down, gets kidnapped, and then they're like, hey, watch this. And they trap the Predator in a meat locker. A massacre happens. Makuga, bring us home.
Okay, so the Predator's in this thing, and you think that he can only see the thing, but he's got a little switch over here, and he can now
see
them
see
with
heat
the
vision.
With
yeah.
Yeah, in the slaughterhouse. Danny Glover chases them down into this apartment building. An old woman, whatever. They go to his ship.
Four,
they have a thing. He shoves the frisbee inside of him. All the Predators are going to take him, throws him a pistol. See you later.
There you go. Yeah. He throws the frisbee inside. That's my fault. I gave you only like 15 seconds
yeah,
to
sorry
work.
About that.
I screwed up.
We got it. I think we got it.
It is so weird to stand after a while, by
yeah,
the way. It's,
yeah.
It's a little like, I got to do fucking lunges to like...
It's a good workout, guys. It's a good workout. It's a little good. Different Guilty Movie Pleasure here today.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. So that's Predator 2 in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It's basically one giant action scene in the beginning.
Yep.
Just to break it down a little bit.
I love that beginning
that
action scene.
That opening action scene is awesome.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said in the recap, it's completely absurd where... All these cops have no idea
yeah.
how to stop these this cartel or whatever.
None.
Until Danny Glover shows up.
Yeah.
And then because there's two cops pinned down.
And I love how Danny Glover's speeding in and like hits that truck. He's like, fuck. Yeah. I don't give a shit. My car's gonna look like shit anyway. Here I come in.
And then, just like I said, his big plan is put two bulletproof vests in the windows, which does not make...
And then
make
Ace Ventura it.
Yeah. They can still see him. They have machine guns. Yeah. Why don't they hit him?
Yeah, yeah.
No bad guy None. Can ever hit
and
a good guy.
Here's the thing.
In the 90s.
Because...
In 80s.
Glover in this movie, his name is Kerrigan? Tarrigan?
That's Kerrigan, like, I think Kerrigan. It is.
It's something Aragon, something whatever. And so...
it's Aragon?
Aragon. And so every time he goes to do something, like, you can't do that, he's like, fuck yourself! I'll do what I fucking want! You're like, Glover.
Yeah.
But see, that's the flip of Murtaugh. Because Murtaugh, if you guys don't know Lethal Weapon, you should throw yourself down a well. Because
you should hate your life.
Yeah, immediately get to some place that has Lethal Weapon and watch
they
all of them.
They have a four-pack at Target for like $8.
Yeah, get it.
With the director's cut of all of them.
Oh, God, it's so good. Pesci, Rene Russo in the 3 and 4.
Well, no, you guys almost went on a date. Yeah, after your Nightcrawler interview.
Man, that was a hell of a day, wasn't it?
I was jealous.
But, like, Murtaugh's always the guy, because Riggs is the guy that's always like, I do what I want. Murtaugh's like, come on, man.
I'm too old for this shit.
In this one, Glover is not too old for this shit. No. He's just getting started.
Even though he kind of seems a little too old for this shit.
His hairline is the funniest hairline in Hollywood.
His reactions are so cartoonish sometimes. Yeah. It's like, like, it's just like...
I want to be in the room when they ADR Danny Glover in some of these movies, because... Because you know they're in there going like, give us a couple grunts. He's like,
not to be confused with your sex sounds.
Yes. Like he just
or MacGruber's sex sounds.
But Glover, I'm telling you.
You noticed that too, where it felt like almost 70% of his lines were ADR.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And 99% of Bill Paxton's lines were ADR.
Oh, my God.
In fact, I just think that this entire movie was shot like a silent film, and then later they were like, oh, fuck, we forgot to record the sound.
Because there are points when they, like, cut, and they cut back, and you can see a delay in speaking, or just the lips are a little bit off.
I thought it was the Blu-ray or something, and I was like, nope, this is just shitty audio mixing.
It's awful. But Bill, see, here's the thing about Predator 2, and I think what makes it a guilty movie pleasure is that each character is a giant caricature of
the sassy Latino cop.
Yeah, the sassy.
Who speaks in Spanish.
Hello, you kind of bad. And you're like, what?
What was that?
That was me.
That
was
a Latino accent?
I was kind of like a female raspy voice. Scarface.
Why do you sound like a British Borat? Mixed with Jason Statham.
I'm trying to work on my
impressions. Yeah, it was so weird. That impression made me so uncomfortable.
I didn't know what's happening. I mean, at least it wasn't Kermit the Frog. Is he a Latino woman? It's a cop.
I wish that your stand-up act was all you doing impressions. Can you please write a 10-minute act where it's just you doing impressions?
I think my one-man show, the worst thing you can ever ask somebody to come to is a one-man show. Like, I wrote a one-man show. It's about the struggle between...
70 minutes long. 70,
yeah.
It's about me as an actor and my struggles.
It's tough.
Oh, fuck my life.
But mine's just bad impressions. My
struggle as an impressionist comedian. And I don't mean like impressionist, like the movement of painting in art. I mean,
this is me. I'm doing the impressions, guy. It's just a morphing of impressions all the way through. Jonathan is in the booth. He hasn't picked his head up yet because he's so embarrassed for the both of us. Look at him. He's the best.
Shit.
Do you ever cut to yourself in the booth? You should cut to yourself in the booth. Do you have a camera back there? Yeah, look at him. There he goes.
There you go.
Yeah, handsome guy from Tennessee.
We were talking about the cliches. And
yes.
One of my favorite quotes was, you quoted it in the recap.
Yeah.
Which was, where is it? Which one is it?
Every action movie
every
ever.
Every action movie ever in the 80s and 90s, and even some today, has a chief of police who says something almost exactly like this to the renegade cop. Can we please play S, Jonathan? Every action movie ever?
You let me down, Mike. You're making me look bad. I thought we had an understanding. I put my ass on the line to get you here. And all I expect is a little cooperation!
Why does he yell that?
Now, you were told that this was a federal matter. Yet you disobeyed a direct order to stay out of the building.
Why is it always...
And that guy is one of the FBI agents in?
I know, I couldn't remember.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, that's right. Yep. Here's the thing. Every action movie ever has that exact moment where the chief of police put his ass on the line to get this cop where he is, which is just a random bit of exposition to raise the stakes.
Yep.
And there's always either a DEA, FBI, internal affairs, somebody who's like, hey, this is their matter. You don't need to get in the way.
Yeah.
And always.
And we speak like this, and we tint our teeth, and then we explode!
And then just one word, we get really upset about it. I'm such a, I expect a little cooperation. I mean, it just seems like he like got bit by a bug during, like
literally,
like a dog bit his ass during it, and he's like, oh shit!
Cops are getting killed all around him, right? Everywhere he goes, just cops, right? They're getting shot at by these crazy Colombians, and supposedly there's Jamaican guys, whatever. Glover comes
reminds
in there.
Me of the gang in Bad Boys 2 as well.
Yeah,
the
definitely.
Super racist Haitian gang where it's like,
you cannot be here.
The devil is not here. Oh my God. So that's what this was too. This was totally just like
Bad
stereotypes.
Boys 2, Predator 2.
Yeah, Bad Boys 2 clearly stole from Predator 2.
Obviously. So, but can we play the clip one more time?
Oh God,
every
so
action
good.
Movie ever?
I gotta stretch.
Let me down, Mike. Down. Make me look bad. Thought we had an understanding. I put my ass on the line to get you here. And all I expect is a little cooperation. Now, you were told that this was a federal matter.
Because he told it was a federal matter.
To stay out of the building.
But here's the thing is, Glover came in like a bat out of hell, Meatloaf's two best albums.
Yeah.
And he rescued the bike cop. He killed a bunch of the Colombians. He saved the day. There's reporters getting shot, and in comes Glover. Because that's hashtag in comes Glover. And
hashtag,
bing bang boom.
Hashtag like a Glover.
Like a Glover.
Like a Glover.
Great callback.
Yeah.
Well done. Ace Ventura.
Like a Glover.
And they're like, you can't go in the building. He's like, oh, we're going in the building because it is an action movie and I'm Danny fucking Glover.
And why is there always somebody who's pissed off that
they went in the
did
building.
A good job? I could see if all the cops got murdered, if, you know, the drug lords got away, if there's like a billion people die, you know, it's something shitty. But this is like, he saved both cops.
Yep.
He prevented people from getting killed.
Yep.
And the only thing he did is he went inside a building and found a bunch of murdered corpses that they would have found anyways.
True. Very true. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of moments in this movie that are very, very guilty. I think the reason that people didn't like Predator 2 is they took it from a jungle to a city.
Which they make you think in the beginning it's a jungle at first.
I know.
That was cool. That helicopter shot and you're like, ooh, it's a jungle. Oh no, it's just Los Angeles. And not just Los Angeles. It's Los Angeles in the future. Where you know what Los Angeles in the future means, right? Apparently from this movie?
War.
War between a bunch of cartels, mainly the Jamaicans and Colombians. Police drive around minivans.
Yes.
There's a ton of police minivans.
Tons.
You know, so they
caravans.
Can pick the kids up from soccer after they're done shooting Colombians and Jamaicans. And then everybody wears really baggy suits that are about a size or two too big.
God.
And they sweat through them.
Everything.
That's the future for Los Angeles.
There's a scene when Glover's walking through the wet and you see it's a close-up on his feet for some odd reason. And his pants are so baggy.
Oh, so baggy.
They're MC Hammer, but without the elastic.
I feel like that's one of the guiltiest things about this, where I couldn't take
it. And
they are hiked up.
He's got his pants like
they are like to the sternum almost.
Yeah,
I mean his lungs are scraping it.
He's sweating through everything, but he still has the blazer on.
It doesn't make sense.
Should be near the mic. Sorry about that.
that's one of the guiltiest things to me is the costume design, because I can't take anybody seriously in this movie. When Danny Glover is supposed to be this badass and he's running around in this like leisure suit that's two sizes
too big. He looks like Bobby Brown in My Prerogative.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got Bobby Brown chasing after the Predator, and we've already established that Danny Glover, as good as he is, he's great as Murtaugh.
Yeah.
He's great in the Wes Anderson movie. I am not discounting Danny Glover as an actor.
I love Danny Glover.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's just not, I don't buy him as a tough badass like they're trying to make him in this without any vulnerability.
I mean, when he's up on
any...
at the end of the movie, when he's up on the ledge, he's like, oh God, I can't do it. Just look down, don't look down. It's just, what if you fall? I'll be
that's
right if I fall.
The creepiest.
But that's how he sounds.
Yet. Yeah.
Because he's on the pipe. He's like, it'd probably be better if I fell. And you're like,
you
ADR.
That's the stuff, though, that's some of the moments I actually didn't mind, because I thought that was more natural for Danny Glover.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I feel like that's probably why people hated this one compared to the first, is because you go from Schwarzenegger, like this total badass, huge action movie guy, to Danny Glover, which I'm sure I'm trying to think of who would have been a better pick for this. But then again, I don't know if there were any African American action stars in the 80s or 90s. There were.
Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes would have been awesome.
Huge.
Wesley Snipes would have.
Wesley Snipes would have made way more sense than Danny Glover.
Yeah, like somebody like Wesley Snipes, because I want to keep it with the diversity. I think that's awesome that they changed it.
Yeah.
Fred Williamson, but Fred Williamson was in the first Predator, right? No. He would have been awesome.
Well, I mean, obviously Carl Weathers was.
Fred Williamson would have been. That's right. Carl Williamson would have been awesome.
What about Billy Dee? Billy Dee could have done something in this. Yeah. He might have been a little too old at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have had like an up and coming black star that we like
Michael
Denzel.
Like Denzel or Michael Jai White.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Michael Jai White. Whew, we got to do Spawn on here somewhere.
Yeah, I love Spawn.
That movie's awesome.
So good.
Michael Jai White, I can't remember how old he was at this point, but I feel like he could have
been. I mean, this movie came out in 90.
Mario Van Peebles.
Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Yeah,
he would have been young.
Young.
He would have been super young.
You're right.
I don't know. It's just Danny Glover. I don't buy him as this badass.
Because he's a whiny. He's kind of a whiny guy
and
in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
But just the way he delivers his stuff and everything.
He just has like, just a comedic quality to him. He's better at comedy. And so some of his reactions are just so laughable, and they're not supposed to be.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's best when you're laughing at something that's supposed to be funny, and then there's other times where you're like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
It just looks silly.
I mean, I think we have a couple Danny Gloverisms in here.
Yeah, what do we have? How about Pussyface?
That one's great.
That one just... And you know what? Right here, I'll talk after this quote, though.
Okay, Pussyface. It's your move.
I don't know if that was improv. Could that have been the classic Glover improv? Like, I'm getting too old for this. Okay, Pussyface.
I feel like right after he said that, they opened up the Predator's mouth wider and specifically, like, for that shot, designed it to look more like a vagina. And I was like, I don't remember it looking that grotesquely similar until that moment.
I don't know. Have you ever been around some girls at 3 a.m? It can get... No, I'm kidding.
But I mean, in like, they literally opened it wider for that shot. Like, see, that's why he said it. That's why he said it. It's
now,
just like, I don't know. That's an offensive term.
It is. It
because,
is.
Because the female body parts are a beautiful thing, not a creepy alien mouth that's going to eat you and, you know, well, he doesn't eat the other alien. Aliens eat, but Predator just had it. Does he ever use those fucking...
The chompers?
Chompers, or is it just for show?
No, that's just like for, in their culture. I don't know if you know this little history on Predator.
Please tell me.
Their teeth... They go out like this, but they're brought in for protective. They're not actually chompers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're just protective. So when he opens it up, it's not really doing when it comes back together. The actual inside of the mouth, they don't actually bite anything. They have to like kind of eat it. So they don't like those things aren't used for chopper. They're just there for effect.
Yeah, and then if like any bugs get near their eyes, they can just go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, bat them away.
Although, none of this is actually true. I just totally made it up.
I think that quote is derogatory towards women in comparing them and their body parts to a predator.
Also, a little story.
It's a weird quote.
My biggest enemy...
If that's
enemy,
an improv, shame on him.
My biggest enemy in the fifth grade was Garfield for Halloween. And we got into a big fight in the cafeteria.
I thought you meant, like, you just didn't like the Garfield Halloween special.
No, this kid. I'm not going to say his name on air. Actually, I think he's in prison, so no big deal. But he was Garfield for Halloween.
Then you definitely should not say his name on air.
And we got into a fight over a snickerdoodle in the cafeteria. And then I think he might have insulted one of my friends. So I just turned to him. He was dressed as Garfield. And I said,
okay, Pussyface. It's your move.
So I used to have a goatee in college.
Ooh, burn.
And I thought it looked really cool. Some people would call me Snatch Face, though, and other versions of it. And one time I just got really upset about it. And I was like, hey, why would you call me that? But I'm not really good at fighting. So I didn't push or anything. And then when the guy pushed me, I just stood there and stared at him blankly. And then he said,
okay, Pussyface. It's your move.
That was a bad one.
Yeah, that wasn't the best. Let me one-up you. Let me one-up you on worstness.
Please do.
My first house that we lived in, we had a couple pussy willow trees in the backyard. And one day I decided to just dress myself up. I wrapped myself in pussy willow branches and all kinds of pussy willow. And I went up to my brother and I tried to fight him. And he grabbed me by the throat and he screamed right into my eyeballs.
Okay, pussy face.
Because you had pussy willow right in your face.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I also...
you're going to keep going with this?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it.
My favorite James Bond movie is definitely Octopussy.
Yeah.
Obviously. And... Pussy Galore is a family friend. Mm-hmm. She used to come to dinner parties and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she used to hit on my dad, and my mom, she didn't appreciate that. And so one day my mom threw a glass of Chardonnay at her and just screamed at her as she was going to just woman punch her right in the face. She said,
"Okay, pussy face. It's your move."
Yeah.
You know, there's a deleted scene from The Dark Knight Rises. Right after Bane gets shot by Catwoman, he actually stood back up and there was an extended fight scene.
Mm.
But when he stood back up, he said in his Bane voice,
"Okay, pussy face. It's your move."
But it was more like, "Okay, pussy face. Your move." And then...
Was that Ed Asner as Bane?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Yeah. That was
thanks,
good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then, you know, Catwoman and him had a fight. But then they figured they couldn't get pussy face for a PG-13 rating. Mm-hmm. So they had to cut that. Then the whole scene got sacrificed.
True.
So now Bane just goes out like a bitch in the third Dark Knight. I don't like Dark Knight Rises.
Well, you're alone on that one.
I'm not alone.
I know. It's not Dark Knight.
Compared to the other two, it's a turd. Compared to the other two. It's still a good movie, but compared to the other, the high bar set by Dark Knight. Anyways.
True. Okay, anyway.
Off track, McGee. That's who I am. How cool are the kills in this movie?
I know. First of all, the weapons, I want to be in the pitch team for who invents the weapons for Predator, because all of his weapons are freaking kick-ass.
Awesome. One of my favorite sequences is when he throws the blade frisbee, and it cuts through all the hanging meat, and then it somehow chops Gary Busey in half, but his upper torso never falls down. Did
no,
you notice that?
No, we don't
that?
See that. Yeah.
It's just his bottom torso and a ton of blood, and I'm like, what the fuck happened to the rest of it?
That thing sliced him
so
up good. Yeah.
And then when he
the spear thing that he has is awesome.
He rips off
I like that the netting that hits and then just
tears you
right up. Razor wire.
And then when he tears off Bill Paxton's head and somehow shaves it down and just has the spine and he's on top of the building and he does the Predator yell and then lightning strikes.
Yeah. Where did that lightning come from?
Did that help him?
And it never rained the rest of the movie or anything?
Was that lightning or was he shooting at... He definitely got struck by lightning in that moment.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that kill him?
Well, because every time he's walking around in water, his thing's like getting all electric-y and it's kind of like exposing him because I don't think he should be walking in water kind of thing.
Yeah. That's the one thing that really drove me nuts about this movie, though, is that Predator looks so awesome, and the costume and the makeup effects on him is so cool.
Yep.
The creature effects, but they spend most of the movie with him in like invisible.
Yeah,
it looks shitty.
The hologram.
The hologram of him looks shitty.
I don't mind the hologram that much.
It looks worse than the. But here's the problem though, because they're acting as if we haven't seen the Predator before. That's only a technique that's used when it's like, oh, it's the first movie. We haven't revealed the villain yet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to show it in pieces like Cloverfield style, you know? And then we show a lot at the end. This, it just repeated the same formula as the first one. I'm like, fuck you. We already saw the Predator in the first one. Show him as much as possible in this.
Right.
And half the movie is this weird, like, 8-bit shining mirror man running around. And that, it didn't look as cool as...
Shiny mirror man.
Anytime it took 36 minutes before they showed his face. And I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I just want to see Predator.
We know.
Not the shitty previous stuff.
Maybe my favorite part of it that makes it guilty is when it's at the end when Glover's chasing him off the building and he flies through that old woman's bathroom.
Which
and
every 80s.
He makes like a cocktail of hydrogen peroxide alien.
Because all he needs to patch himself up is apparently
plaster,
drywall and linoleum from a bathroom and this weird blue liquid.
And an open flame.
And an open
inside
flame.
Of a satellite dish.
Yeah.
And this woman, he puts it on his stomach. And he screams out like you would if you put hydrogen peroxide on your cut. And then that's when the woman comes out of her bedroom like, I think there's somebody in the bathroom. Bitch, you think so? A guy just fucking flew through your window.
She's a heavy sleeper.
Didn't break the window. Broke the wall.
For the first thing she just thought was like, oh, what was that? And then she's like, it's probably nothing. And she went back to then she was like, oh, that definitely was something when the scream happened.
And then comes out with the broom and then Predator just...
Which
goes out.
That happened a lot in the 80s and 90s movies. They always had some goofy old lady. One of my favorite versions of that is in The Professional, the Luc Besson movie, where there's the Gary Oldman's out there, and this old lady who looks like a cartoon character comes out, and she's like, why don't you leave those people alone? And he goes, go back inside, and he shoots like the glass behind her. And it's just like that always happens in every... There's always some goofy old lady.
We just had that in
Hard Rain.
Yep, Hard Rain, and we got it in this.
Shut the fuck up. We have some more sound clips. Can we go through them? I know you got to get going here soon.
Yeah, pretty soon.
What else do we have?
I believe we have Motherfucker.
Oh, that's a good one. Dead space, dead space.
You're one ugly mother.
Here's the thing. That's another guilty moment for me. Yep. This has happened twice. This is the second time this happened. First time, Danny Glover shoots him a bunch of times,
yeah,
and Predator's still alive.
Yeah.
This is the time.
Yeah, yeah. This is
This is the time where he's now sawed him or something. I forget. I can't remember anymore. There's so many times this happens.
Predator doesn't die easy.
Where so Danny Glover gets real close to the Predator, and he is not dead.
Well, this is in the meat locker. Okay, here's another thing that I'm watching at that moment where I'm like, what?
You are one. Bill Paxton. Why does it take so long to say it?
Bill Paxton is shooting him in that. There's nowhere for the Predator to go.
Yeah.
And in the Predator vision, you are seeing bullets fly at the Predator. Now, why does Bill Paxton's bullets not work and Danny Glover's do?
Maybe because Danny Glover had a shotgun?
I mean, I guess.
Maybe when he's in that, when he refracts the light, it is a shield somehow? That doesn't make any sense, though. Because just refracting the light. It doesn't make any sense. There's no logic there.
Okay.
And also,
so
how come the Predator, he's putting up this huge fight, and then he's hanging off a building with Danny Glover, and that's when he goes, all right, well, I guess I got to throw in the towel. This is it for me. Instead of, like, jump down or throw yourself up.
You're
and
the
throw.
Predator. You've been here's the thing.
You've survived so much more than hanging off of a building.
Yeah, and when Danny Glover's like climbing up the ladder, the Predator has shown that he can jump up the ladder, and so Glover gets away. I mean, I get that he's wounded, but still.
Also, when Predator's wounded in the bathroom and Danny Glover's taking the longest time ever to cross.
I know.
Why didn't the Predator just turn around and go?
Well, this was classic ADR.
Oh, shit. And just chop the thing, and then Glover goes, ah!
Yeah. And that's classic Glover ADR where he's like, oh, God. Don't look there. Don't look there. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's so creepy.
That's what he says at a porta potty, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Don't look down. It's Coachella. Don't look down.
Can we play the bad sex noises?
Oh, it's so good. Oh, my God.
Now, if I was having sex with a girl and she was screaming like that, I would tell her to stop. And then probably leave.
I would be like, "Oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah,
what's happening? Are you having an asthma attack?
Are you also watching a Wes Craven movie?"
Here's the thing. I guess what's happening is that they want you to think she's being murdered, but they show in a very wide shot a woman getting fucked in a building in a sky rise. So it'd be different if they didn't show that. And
she's just sitting around naked
the
for
whole time.
She was hot.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's just—it's so weird. It doesn't make any sense to me. That sex noise is the strangest sex noise since
MacGruber. You know who that actor was?
Who?
The actress? It was Halle Berry.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Wait, are we going to do anything with that sex noise or just leave it as is?
Yeah, just leave it as is.
Just leave it as is. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
What else do we have? We have Subway. Let's just play a few more. Let's play Shit Happens.
Bill Paxton, really?
Yeah. Shit Happens.
I don't know why his voice echoes on Shit Happens.
Shit Happens.
I tell you what I believe. I have a magical echoing voice when I want to emphasize points.
I love how the Jamaican cartel is so cartoonishly in the pot.
Oof.
And that car is just billowing weed. Like, they don't
Danny Glover comes out, he's like, you guys need to cut back.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So good. Okay, what's the next one? Subway.
Okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. Loosen your sphincters. We don't need any rush hour Rambos there.
You know what? That's actually when I went to the doctor one time.
Proctologist?
To proctologist, because I was having a little constipation issue.
The ass man.
The ass man. You know, I was having some constipation, and, you know, they got to shove a finger up there. This is really private. I shouldn't be saying this.
Yeah,
but, you know, right before they do the finger, you know, the typical doctor bedside manner is to say this.
Okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. Loosen your sphincters. We don't need any rush hour Rambos there.
And here's the thing. There is multiple people being checked at the same time, because there's a constipation epidemic that happened a few years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
Shit happens.
Shit happens.
I get it. Shit happens.
I think also, well, you know, what you've got is there's a porn from 1990. It's called Predatory 2. It's about this girl named Tori.
Uh-huh.
And she's really into the butt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the director, every day before the shoot, would just look to everybody and say,
Okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. Loosen your sphincters. We don't need any Rush Hour Rambos there.
Exactly.
I don't know what the Rush Hour Rambos has to do with it, but, you know, they just don't want anybody to go too quickly because it's they got to get at least a solid 39
what
minutes.
What an unbelievably cartoonish scene when the guy pulls the gun and then everybody else on the subway has a gun. Okay.
So good. But that's actually kind of a precursor to the gun culture we live
yes,
in nowadays.
True.
But
let's play the Bill Paxton
just real quick. This isn't an improv thing. But I actually used to work at a video store in Ohio called Video Time, and they rented out adult films, and one of the films there was called In Rear Endance Day. And it was a
Independence Day spoof.
It was an Independence Day spoof called In Rear Endance Day.
And I believe that Will Smith, right before he says, "I got to get me one of these," he's giving a speech to all the people that are about to get rear endanced.
Yeah.
And he says,
"Okay, everybody, just take a deep breath. Loosen your sphincters.
Just
we
easier
don't
that
need
way.
Any Rush Hour
exactly.
Rambos there.
Exactly.
Just easier.
Just way easier. Let's play Bill Paxton's joke. I think
why
it's,
Bill Paxton? That's
why
my
Bill
favorite.
Paxton.
We should end on this one.
So I go in for my physical, right? And the doctor says, I need a semen, stool, and urine sample. I say, gee, doc, I'm in a big hurry. Can I just leave my underwear?
And let's leave you guys at that. Bill Paxton.
His character is a walking, annoying joke.
Guys, whatever you do, don't loosen up your sphincters when buying your Casper mattresses. Go to Casper.com/guilty. Casper.com/guilty.
I'm pretty sure there's no more. There's no sentence.
To get $50 off your purchase of a Casper mattress. These Casper mattresses are high quality, high luxurious. And Ben, what else are they?
I was just going to say that there's no sentence Casper ever wanted less than that before their product. But. Yeah. Hey, it's a good deal.
It's a great deal.
It's a great deal. They know what they're getting into when they have us talk about it.
And if you are going to use a Casper mattress, make sure the girl is not making sex noises like Predator 2.
No.
And whatever you do, don't call anybody a pussy face while sleeping on a Casper mattress.
Nope.
For Josh McCouga, at Josh McCouga on Twitter, host of Between the Sheets, Between the Sheets TV on YouTube, and...
at Ben Begley Comedy. Also, you can find my film that I wrote with my wife called The Funhouse Massacre on Facebook.com/The Funhouse Massacre and on Twitter at Funhouse Mass. It's not a church reference. We just ran out of letters. I say that every week. It's going to get less
still,
funny.
It's still a great joke. And... and next week, my mom and dad will be here. And guys,
it's gonna be not only can
you
awesome.
See, not only can you see Funhouse Massacre, but you can also see Where's Love? I just don't know. Starring Ben Begley. Guys, until the next time, what
you.
Is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.